Welcome back, listeners. I'm Brett Wright, your narrator for Derailed. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. As always, I have a few important notes before we continue with the story. Derailed is a fictional mystery series, which will run for a limited number of episodes. Content warnings for all of our episodes will be included at the bottom of the show notes. Some of these can contain spoilers, but as Derailed explores some dark themes, I recommend checking them out beforehand. The show's founders, Mateo Bradford Vazquez, John Stokinger, and Neely Khan, would like to thank you once again for supporting this podcast and wish you an awesome listening experience. So, I've listened to your feedback, and I will start sharing quicker recaps of past episodes. In episode 6 of Derailed, Detective Johnson gets a lot of heat from his boss, Lieutenant Kaczynski, about the slow progress of Lena Hadid's case. Nanine turns up to Miami to grill Jace about his overdue pages, and Jace confides in Astrid about his true feelings for Lena Hadid and how he's fixated on her. Also, last week, Officer Ramos kinda insinuates to his sister Rosita that he's recently done something that he's not so proud of. Anyway, let's hear what happens next as our characters travel to Orlando to visit Omar Hadid. Banbury, England, 2000, a school classroom.
Unsolved mysteries, Egyptian mummies.
Did you know the Egyptians used to pull out the brains of the dead bodies from their nostrils?
Yes, they had special instruments to do so. It was a delicate operation.
It could easily disfigure their face. Quite a silly way to do it, actually. That's not how I would remove somebody's brain.
Lena, sweetheart, Amber and Olivia are looking at a picture book about pharaohs and their beautiful jewels. We're going to try designing some of our own later. I brought some green gems into class this morning, especially for it. Won't that be fun?
I guess.
Would you like me to ask the girls if you can join them? I'm sure they'd love to share the picture book with you.
I don't want to look at a picture book. I want to read about mummies.
Okay, sure. That's fine. So, you like reading very much, don't you?
It's my favourite hobby.
What other kind of books do you like to read?
I like Enid Blyton and Beatrix Potter and Roald Dahl and also Thomas Lutcher, I think. I don't really know how to pronounce his name.
Oh, I've never heard of him. What book did he write?
He wrote the Manual of Cardiovascular Medicine and Surgeries.
You read about cardiovascular surgeries?
It's my papa's book.
Does he know you like to read his books?
I don't know. I find them in his home library and read them by myself.
Are you by yourself? A lot?
Yes.
I see. You're a clever girl, Lena. Very smart for your age. Do you know that? So, tell me, do you know what cardiovascular means?
It has something to do with hearts. Papa has a lot of books about hearts because of Leah.
Yes, your sister.
She died. I found her body.
Lena, do you talk to your mummy and papa about this? Do you feel like talking about it some more? With anyone? You know you can, don't you? You know there are lots of people who are here to support you and be here for you.
Papa said I shouldn't talk to anyone about it, except for him.
Oh, okay. Well, if you have any questions about anything, that maybe you don't feel comfortable asking other grown-ups, then I want you to know that you can ask me, okay?
Thank you, Miss Khan.
Okay, sure. Well, the offer's always here if you need, just in case you think of something later. No pressure.
I don't have any questions, especially about dying. Because I've decided I'm not going to be like Leah. I've decided that I'm going to live forever.
Early September, 2023, Orlando Police Station.
Of course Jace Nolan is already in Orlando. Of course he is.
We've given Omar Hadid a heads up about the possibility of Jace paying him a visit. But Omar's pissed, detective. He's blaming the department, accusing us of neglect and not doing our jobs correctly.
Well, can you blame him, Clint? This extent of incompetence is going to cost us the entire case. We're sleepwalking. sleepwalking through this entire process. I'm telling you, it wasn't like this back in the day. When I was working up the ranks, it actually meant something. It actually required us to break a sweat now and again. You boys don't know real hard work. Where's the urgency? Where's the speed? I've seen you move faster for a Krispy Kreme delivery at the station.
We're following Ramos's lead, Detective.
Where is Ramos?
Last I saw him, he was busy looking into Hadid's family rental in Aruba, another Cassiola property. According to our conversations with Omar Hadid so far, his mom stores a lot of her keepsakes there. Old photo albums, diaries, medical records. We're keen to fill in the gaps of his family's story. A few things just aren't adding up.
The mother, Emily. When did she stop practicing as an anesthetist?
Well, she took a sabbatical in 99 after the death of Aliyah. But then she started working again shortly after the family moved to Tennessee. And then she took another break a few months before Lena Hadid was murdered.
And what was she doing during that time?
Not much. In and out of therapy, some local solo travel by the looks of it. She has a history of clinical depression and being passively reliant on prescribed drugs. Doesn't surprise me, being married to that miserable git for over 20 years.
Clint.
Sorry, Detective.
I'd like to get a detailed picture of Emily Hadid. Her past, her friends, her relationship with her family and her husband, and especially her relationship with Lena. Could you get Ramos here, please? Tell him it's urgent.
I would, but I don't know where he is.
What do you mean you don't know where he is? I thought he was looking into the family's rental in Aruba. Don't just stand there looking at me. Call him if you can't find him.
We've been trying him for the past hour, and we can't get through. Have you tried asking him about Emily Hadid recently?
Well, yeah, of course. We talk about the Hadids all the time. That obviously includes Emily. Why do you ask?
No reason.
Why do I get the feeling that you're all playing this game of telephone behind my back? Is there something you need to share with me, Clint?
No, nothing like that. It's just the guys and I were saying that Ramos gets a bit hot under the collar every time the mention of Emily Hadid comes up. Have you noticed? Anyway, it's probably nothing. I'm just saying because I know you were thinking of promoting Ramos to detective. So, I mean, if I was in the running to become detective, I'd have Omar Hadid eating off our palms.
You know, I've never had you down as the type to throw one of your boys under the bus.
No, not at all, Detective. I just don't want anyone to pull the wool over your eyes. Come on. Where Ramos is from, his family history, I mean, I don't judge him for being a hothead. It's in his culture, right? Certain cultures are just known for glorifying violence.
Enough, Clint.
I didn't mean to.
Officer Ramos is a stand-up professional who respects his duty to the state. There's only room for one culture in my department, and that's human culture. You got that?
Yes, Detective Johnson.
Now get me those log sheets and the details I need about Emily Hadid. I want to know exactly what she was doing in the months running up to her youngest daughter's death. And then I want somebody to question the locals back at Star River again. Also speak to Miss Turner from Juicy Lucy's Donuts again, and find me that list of every single team member who was on the shift at Mazari Cabin Rentals on the morning of the fire. Can you manage all of that?
Of course.
I'll get a hold of Ramos and we'll take care of the rest.
Hello. Please leave a message after the tone.
Ramos, where the hell are you? Give me a call as soon as you get this. I need an explanation now.
Meanwhile, at a local park in Orlando.
I just had your favorite flavor, pistachio.
Ugh, ice cream. I'm so jealous. I'm stuck indoors doing admin today. But we're going out for dinner later, so...
Who's we?
Just me and the family. I think I might be meeting my son's girlfriend for the first time today. That'll be interesting. Gosh, it's crazy. Even saying that aloud makes me feel so old.
No, you're not old. Plus, age is just a number, right? Doesn't really matter, so you're probably like 10 or 15 years older than me. But we get along great, don't we? I don't even think about the age difference.
Well, it's my job to ensure that all my clients feel comfortable, so I'm glad you feel that way. I mean, where professional, clinical relationships are concerned, age shouldn't even come into it. But my personal life is a whole different matter. Anyway, I'm digressing. How How's Orlando? Are you still glad you went?
Yeah, ever since I found Omar Hadid on Instagram, I've been itching to speak with it.
Social media makes everything so accessible these days.
I'm not stalking him. That's not what I do. That's not how I am.
Oh, I know. I know, Jace. That's not what I meant. I'm just fascinated by this modern-day desire to share every detail, even intimate detail, of our lives on places like Insta, TikTok, and whatever else there is. I'm not judging, though, and I'm certainly not calling you a stalker.
You remind me of Lena Hadid sometimes. That's the exact same reason she never posted on socials.
Yes, but you didn't know Lena Hadid personally.
Yeah, I know. Of course I know that. But I feel like I'm just getting to know... Fuck. You must think I'm absolutely crazy. Especially after what I said to you the other day about being fixated on Lena Hadid. You know, I didn't mean to come off so strong. It was just that moment. And I feel so comfortable around you. And I
don't think you're crazy.
Thanks. Although, you might be the only one.
Who cares what other people think? What's important is how you see yourself.
And you. I care about how you see me.
I know. Yeah. So, what are your plans for Orlando? What are you going to do? Have you thought about how it'll look if you just turn up at Omar Hadid's rental?
Astrid, something's not right about this case. I feel like Lena's not getting the justice that she deserves. Her parents? They seem even more hung up about her death in Aaliyah than Lena's, even though Lena died just a few weeks ago. And she was murdered, which is totally different, if not worse, than how Aaliyah passed.
Yes, but Jace, we can't possibly make that assumption. A loss of life is still a loss of life. How do we know what this Aaliyah went through? We can't even begin to imagine. And the family, the parents, it definitely sounds like a lot. All I'm saying is tread cautiously. At the end of the day, you're an outsider to the Hadids. That's how it'll look to everybody else. So when they notice you snooping around, jetting across the country to find out more about Lena Hadid, it'll raise questions. Suspicions.
So what are you saying? Do you think I shouldn't go and visit Omar Hadid?
I can't tell you what to do. That's not my job. But do you think this personal investigation of yours, do you think it'll help with your writing?
I don't know. I mean, I think so. She inspires me. Lena Hadid inspires me.
Then just promise me that you'll be careful, okay? And that you'll look after yourself. Call me right after you meet with Omar Hadid, okay?
Okay, thanks. I do appreciate it. I know me calling you like this isn't really part of the paid service.
It's my duty to help make sure you're well. You can call me anytime.
Can I ask you something?
Of course.
Do you let all your clients call you whenever they want?
What do you think, Jace? I'll speak to you later. Bye, Jace.
Bye, Astrid.
Orlando, at Omar Hadid's vacation rental.
I'll be there in 20 minutes, babe. Sorry, couldn't find my other camera lens. Go ahead and order whatever you want for both of us. Shit, someone's at the door. Let me see who it is. I'll see you in a bit, okay? Love you. Oh, hey man, you all right?
Hello? Omar, right? Omar Hadid?
Look, I can't remember the last time somebody addressed me by my full name. But yeah, I'm Omar. How can I help you, mate?
Maybe. I'm Jace Nolan. I'm wondering if I could speak to you about your sister. I'm sorry if it's a bad time. And I'm sorry in general for your loss. Shit. They came out really insincere. I didn't mean to.
Jace Nolan? The writer?
Yeah, that's me.
Come in, mate. I was actually on my way out.
Oh, shit. I can come back another time.
Nah, it's cool. I'll just let my fiancée know something's come up. You want a drink? I think I've got a couple of beers left in the fridge. And some weird pomegranate crap that my fiancé likes to drink.
No, I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm going to grab a beer for myself because by the looks of your face, sweat stains under your pits, this is going to be a heavy conversation. Jeez, dude, you're practically melting.
Yeah, I'm just a little warm, sorry.
No need to apologize. The Floridian sunshine can be pretty intense. Anyway, only those who are guilty apologize. Are you guilty, Chase?
What?
Relax. I'm only pulling your leg. So, what's up? What can I do you for?
I wanted to talk to you about your sister, Lena Hadid.
Yep. You already said.
Right, so...
What about my sister?
I just wanted to ask if...
For a writer, you sure do take long-ass choosing your words. What's going on, Jace? Why are you really here? Wasn't interrogating my old man enough? Or were you just not satisfied with the answers he gave you?
You know about that?
Of course I know about it. The police warned me that you'd probably turn up at my doorstep too, sniffing around like a weasel, obsessing over my sister. What's your game, man? Are you fucking her?
What? No. You got that all wrong. Look, I haven't come here to cause any offense. I just wanted to ask you some questions, as a friend. I spoke to your parents, as you know, and they...
How's my mom?
She's okay.
Does she still get that weird smudgy thing at the corner of her eye when she cries? When her mascara's running? She only started wearing makeup because of my dad, you know. She didn't need it otherwise. She was always naturally beautiful. The prettiest mum at the school gates. All my mates fancied her. It used to drive me mad. Was she crying loads when you met her?
Yeah. Yeah, she was. Why haven't you called her?
It's complicated. There's loads of history. Lionel Messi history.
Your dad told me about Aaliyah.
It's weird. I still can't say her name. It brings up too many awful memories. So, what version of the story did Pops tell you? The one where we dragged Aaliyah's pain out for as long as possible just to give our lives more purpose? Or the one where we juggled the Holy Quran in one hand and the books about open heart surgeries in the other?
Your dad explained it was a very difficult time for all of you, which is why I'm guessing you moved away before your parents Alina shifted to the US.
I moved away because my own home was giving me the fucking creeps. Yeah, maybe it was a dickhead move. I knew Lena was struggling, but I still left. I was just so young myself, and now Lena's gone too. It's fucked up, man.
How are you dealing with it all? I mean, Lena was your little sister. It must have been hard to find out she's been murdered and...
Yeah. I don't need to run through all the details in my head again. I've got my art, my photography. It doesn't come with a doctor's paycheck and the status that both my parents and Lena have, but it's healing for me. Creativity is his own kind of genius. Anyway, probably know all about that, being a writer and all.
Yeah, I guess.
Thought you were a bit of a nutcase when I was hearing all of these things about you. You know, from the cops. And don't get me wrong, you're socially awkward as fuck. But it's pretty impressive how you've raked in a fortune from your art alone. I read that piece about you on Fox. You're killing it as a modern day Romeo, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not all that it's cracked up to be. You have to take those articles with a pinch of salt. It's the press's job to romanticize my work more than it needs to be. Didn't start making it as a writer until I wrote my fourth book.
Well, that gives me hope. Photography doesn't pay all the bills, but I inherited a couple of properties from my family a while back. I run them as vacation rentals to help me tide over. Grabbed this book the other day.
The book direct playbook.
This dude from Yorkshire in the north of England, Mark Simpson. Hey, he'll give you a run for your money with his writing. And he's easy on the eye.
Oh, I don't know much about this space.
They call him the book direct guy. He runs a company called Boostly, which gives you the tools, the tactics, and the training to get more bookings for your vacation rentals. I caught one of his podcast episodes a few months ago, and that drew me in. Cool guy, one hell of an accent. So, this book's helped me with the property bookings, etc. Then maybe one day I'll check out his second one, The Book Direct Blueprint, while carrying on with his photography dream. I owe a lot to this Simpson geezer.
Well, it looks like you're doing a good job. This rental is lovely.
Yep, Cassiola. Bit of a tradition in my family. We stay loyal to the companies we love. I've hooked myself up with this condo though. Private enough to give me the quiet time I need. We're overlooking a gorgeous, peaceful lake where we can see the SeaWorld's fireworks from too. My fiance isn't too crazy about the fireworks though. He's definitely the quieter one of us two, but I love capturing the colors of them. It translates beautifully in print.
Sounds gorgeous.
But do you know what my favorite thing to photograph is?
What's that?
Roller coasters. This condo's not too far away from Universal's Land of Adventure. They've got a coaster there at Jurassic World. It's called the Velocicoaster. I love taking shots of it.
Oh, wow. That's pretty niche. You like coasters then?
Lena loved them. The sounds of the tracks remind me of her. She was obsessed with roller coasters, actually. I swear, she could talk about Cobra rolls and corkscrews all day long. She used to do my head in with all her geeky shit about shoulder restraints and seats. I mean, who gives a fuck about the difference between shoulder restraints and lap bars? I just want to go enjoy the ride without bathing my guts out. But not Lena. She'd want to talk to you about the features of every ride while you're riding it. She loved adrenaline. I think it was some kind of escapism for her.
She sounds just fascinating.
Ah, she was. And bright as fuck. I mean, she was definitely the brains of the family, that's for sure. She'd only have to read things once or twice before committing it to memory.
Well, it's no surprise she became a doctor then. Well, that and she clearly had a heart of gold.
Lena was different.
Yeah, one of a kind.
But she was different. I noticed in it from an early age. I'm guessing it was because she was always alone. In hindsight, I could have spent more time with her. But I was doing what stupid big-ass brothers do and getting caught up to no good. She talked to herself a lot, especially while looking in the mirror. I caught her doing that a few times in her bedroom and just passed it off as her being my lonely weirdo sister. But now, looking back at it, it was weird. God, she was so lonely. She used to write a lot too, but not in a regular way, like how you do. She used to write aggressively, like there was something bursting to come out of her. I remember she used to pierce holes on the sheets of paper with her pen because of the pressure she was put on. Fuck, she had boxes and boxes of journals, writing pads and sketch pads under her bed. They're probably still there at our rental in Aruba. The last time I spoke to Mum, she said she was moving all the old stuff around her. I hope they find the sick bastard who did this to my sister. She didn't deserve this. She wasn't well. She wasn't right.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. There was something going on with her. She's the one who found Aaliyah, as stiff as a rock, the morning she died in bed. She was only 9 years old. I think that fucked her up forever.
What? How? How can you say that about your own sister?
The fuck, dude? Calm down. She was my sister.
Yeah, and you're trashing her like she was some kind of deranged psycho. You said it yourself. She found her own sister cold and dead in her bed when she was only 9 years old. She doesn't need judgment. She needs justice.
Who the fuck said anything about her being a psycho? Are you for real? Just fucking watch the way you run your mouth.
You're all the fucking same. You wait for people to let their guard down, and when they do, you go straight for the jugular and fucking feed on their vulnerabilities. Just like you're doing with Lena right now. You're trying to poison my mind, aren't you? You're trying to turn me against her, aren't you?
All right, you need to leave.
I talk to myself. I hear voices. Am I not right too? What do you think you're doing?
Get out!
Get hands off me!
Don't you
get
dare come near me or my family
again,
you
off
piece
me
of shit! The cops are gonna hear about this, you hear me? As well as what you did to my sister, you sick freak. Fucking get out, you fucking train wreck of a human. Fucking train wreck!
Hi, Jace.
Astrid, I need you. Please come see me. Please come see me.
What's going on? Where are you?
I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. The train! I have to stop the fucking train.
Wait, what train? I can't hear a train. Where are you, Jace?
I have to stop the fucking train. It's all my fault. She's gonna die. She's dying. It's all my fault.
Jace, listen to me. There are no trains around you. Right. I want you to find a safe space wherever you are, away from cars and away from crowds of people. And I want you to try and count with me, okay? Come on. One.
Two. Three.
Three.
Four.
Good. And again?
One.
Two,
three,
four,
five.
Good. And again?
One,
two,
three,
four,
five.
Okay.
Astrid, I need you.
You know I'm in Miami. But listen, you can call me whenever you...
No, I need it, Astrid. Please, I need help. I can't call Sophie. You know I can't. And I don't have anyone else who I can trust. Please. Please, I'm begging you.
All right. All right, okay. There's a few things that I need to see to in Orlando anyway. Just leave it with me, okay? I'm here for you.
A few hours later, at a coffee shop in Orlando.
Man, I need an espresso. What do you want?
Hang on a second. I'm still looking at the lunch menu. It'd be nice to find something that isn't deep fried or covered in pig fat. What about you? Aren't you eating?
Nah, I'm not hungry.
You look exhausted.
Yeah, I told you. I've been feeling a little run down.
Well, eat something. You'll feel better.
No offense, D, but I've already got 5 sisters who treat me like their child. I don't need anybody else doing the same. I'm a grown-ass man. I'll eat when I'm hungry. Anyway, I thought we came here to catch up, not eat sandwiches.
Huh. You'd be lucky to find anything that fits between 2 slices of bread here.
I don't get you. You sound pissed off with me on the phone. You have some shit to get off your chest. So why are you trying to kill me with kindness now? Why aren't you getting to it?
Because that's not going to help either one of us, is it? It's certainly not going to help us with this case. Ramos, yes. I was frustrated with you earlier. And I have been for a while. Honestly, up until an hour ago, I was ready to wring your neck because you've been such a pain in the ass.
Believe me, I'm not doing any of this on purpose.
Wait, hear me out. I said up until an hour ago, I was ready to wring your neck. But that all changed when this photo of Catherine and all the girls fell out of my wallet.
Catherine was beautiful. Wow, your daughters really do have their mother's eyes.
Yep, and I pray every day that they have their mother's heart too. Catherine was wonderful. We fell in love when we were 14. High school sweethearts. None of this dating around and swiping right nonsense that you see these days. Now, this was true, unfiltered love. I knew from the moment I first laid eyes on her in gym class that she would be my wife. She changed my life. She taught me how to receive love. She taught me empathy.
You were lucky to have each other. Not everybody is that blessed.
Catherine used to worry about me a lot. She'd see the way the mental and emotional pressure of the investigations would affect me and sometimes confine me to our bedroom for days.
I didn't know you felt that way.
Ramos, I've been serving in the force for nearly 20 years. But I'm still human. You know, after all this time and a number of homicide cases, I still catch a lump in my throat every time I hear about a new victim's death. I used to swallow that lump, pretend like it wasn't there, because I thought admitting that it existed made me less of a man, less of a hard-ass detective. It's ridiculous what we're conditioned to believe as men, isn't it? Especially as men in uniform. One day I came home from the station, this was around 10 years ago, when I was working on Billy, the Bloody Orphans case. You might remember it. Anyway, I got home from work and this was just after we learned that Billy was abused by a stepdad as a child. I remember breaking down into Catherine's arms and feeling guilty because of it. As if I'd let her and the entire team down.
Yeah. I know what that's like.
That was the first time I opened up to my wife. Properly. She told me, it's okay to feel. And I know that's what you kids call snowflakey, but I think those were the words I needed to hear all along. It's okay to feel. So Catherine being Catherine gave me this photo and told me to keep it in my wallet and carry it with me everywhere. As a reminder that out of feelings come beautiful, full things. And we shouldn't try to bottle them up. Even as men, even as cops.
Yeah, I hear you, Dee. But why are you telling me all this?
Ramos, that night, when I told you to get your shit together while you were spending time with your sister, I shouldn't have said that. Lena Hadid's case isn't easy on any of us. And I know you have a lot going on, especially with your impending promotion. I just want you to know that you can talk to me.
I know. I've been behaving like a dick. Trust me. I see it, and I don't like it for myself.
What's the problem? Is it the case? Is it triggering something?
Nah, I can handle the case. I mean, don't get me wrong. What happened to Lena Hadid is fucked up. Majorly fucked up. And the way her family's behaving throughout this entire investigation, of course, it's hard for me to see. If that was one of my sisters, I'd be turning the world on its head, demanding answers, probably wrecking havoc and getting myself into all kinds of trouble in the process. But I can compartmentalize. I know this is my job, and I can keep my emotions in check.
Then what is it?
I just want to be a good man, Dee.
But you are a good man. You're a stand-up guy.
Yeah, but I have to work so much harder to prove it. To prove that I'm even worthy of being here. I know you got me, Dee, and I appreciate you for that. I really do. But there's some things you simply won't understand because you don't experience them like I do. You can't.
Is this about Officer Clint? Because I've spoken to him about his microaggressions.
It's about the system, Dee. The change that needs to happen from within. So that I can move up the ranks as a detective without anybody raising their eyebrows or making me jump through hoops like I'm a show dog. I'm just tired, man. Tired of people having this persona of me. Just because of the way I look. I'm not a dog, man. I'm not.
I know. Hey, why don't you grab those coffees and we'll map out what we're going to do next with this investigation. Seems like we both have a lot riding on this.
Yep. Sounds good to me. I think we now have enough information to formally question Jace Nolan. We found some pretty disturbing things about his past. He has a history of obsessing over young, beautiful women, for one. It's highly concerning.
I've had a bad feeling about him ever since I ran into him at that coffee shop in Bend. Good work, Ramos. This is useful.
Told you could trust me, Dee. Oh, I'll get that later.
Who's that?
Nobody important.
Ramos, who's calling you?
I told you, nobody important.
You and I both know how easy it is to trace phone records, so you can either tell me yourself, or I'll find out later anyway. Who's calling you?
Okay, fine. It's Emily. Emily Hadid.
Emily Hadid?
Yes.
Why is Emily calling you? Repeatedly. And more importantly, why are you reluctant to answer her call in front of me?
Real? You're going to question me like I'm a suspect now?
You said I could trust you.
You can.
Then why is Emily Hadid calling you? And why are you hiding it?
Because she's a nut job. She's fucking crazy, okay? I know this makes me look totally shady, but just hear me out. Just hear me out, Dee. Emily Hadid is not at all what she makes out to be. She's guilty, and I'm going to tell you exactly why.
Wait, what about Emily Hadid? How is she guilty? They really left us on a cliffhanger there. Derailed is a no BS production on the Amplified Audio Network of Podcasts. Executive produced by Mateo Bradford Vasquez, John Stokinger, and Neely Khan. Produced and edited by Michael Shamali, and written and directed by Neely Khan. The team would like to thank the sponsors featured in this episode. Starring sponsor, Cassiola, who promise you vacation homes you'll love across Miami, Orlando, and Aruba, and Boostly, giving you the tools, tactics, and training to skyrocket direct bookings for your vacation rental business. Do check out these awesome brands by following the sponsor links in our show notes. as this podcast would not have been possible without them. Join me again for episode 8. We're really beginning to piece some clues together now.